What's up, everyone? This is Am I Selfish, a podcast hosted by two selfish girls navigating career, culture, media, and everything in between. In this week's episode, we'll be giving you some updates on our lives since you last heard from us. We'll be talking about sadness in the midst of creative success and sharing some of the details of both of our emotional journeys thus far.
What's up, YouTube? Welcome to the podcast.
What's up, YouTube? Welcome to the podcast. That should just be our intro. Yeah. What's up, YouTube? Welcome to the podcast. This is Am I Selfish? A podcast about two selfish girls.
Mm-hmm. Episode 2. Thanks to everyone that listened to the first episode. We appreciate all the feedback.
And all the 52 people who listened to this episode.
And then the 9 people that listened to the end. I'm just kidding.
We have podcast analytics. We can see you guys being shady. Just kidding. No, I'm so thankful for everyone who tuned in and listened to at least like half a second.
Yeah, we're just selfish and want people to listen to the
exactly, which is why I'm realizing more and more that this podcast is so appropriately named.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know where the name came, like what moment we realized that should be the name.
Well, I was listening back to the podcast and I was like listening to that part about us talking about how selfish we feel sometimes. In, like, writing. Mm. And I was like, that would be, like, cool to, like, have in the name somehow. Like, something about being selfish.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that more today with our topic. What's going on with your life? Because it's literally been, since we recorded that podcast, probably 2 months.
Yeah, because it took us 2 months to get that podcast up for you, which is why a lot of the references were very old. Yeah. Apologies.
We also originally talked about Coachella in that.
Yeah, that's how old the podcast was, if that gives you any context.
Yeah.
What's been up with you since 2 months ago?
I graduated from college, from that school.
Woo woo!
That school that we don't like. Yeah, it feels weird. Like, I keep telling people, it's kind of annoying when people are like, oh my God, how do you feel? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I feel like I just graduated. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it just feels like it's summer vacation right now, which I know it's not. I know it's just life. And when I think about that, I kind of spiral because I'm like, oh, I don't have any like markers, like kind of determining my existence anymore. Like, I just have life now, which is so weird to think about. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I graduated. I'm looking for jobs. I'm applying for a couple jobs right now. If you want to hire me, let's go. I'll put my website in the, like, description.
No, that's...
No, but honestly, after our last podcast, I was like, will anyone hire me after listening
after
to
this podcast?
I know.
This is the true...
Future employers, this is not my entire personality. I will be very professional.
Yeah.
So, yeah, doing that, and then I'm also taking a social media break. Well, not really. I'm still on Twitter, which I want to talk about Twitter later.
Okay.
But haven't been on Instagram, which is, like, ironic because for my job I have to be on Instagram. But I'm thinking, like, maybe if I do end up working in social media, like, maybe it'll be best for me to, like, not. Maybe I won't even want to be on it for my personal stuff, you know? Like, if that's my everyday, like, job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I probably won't want to be on it as much. I'll probably just want to come home and, like, read a book or something. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of nice. But basically, like, I like to do this every so often in my life. Just, like, not being on Instagram because I think, I don't know what it is about Instagram. But it just, like, at some point I know I need to take a break because it just is, like, hard for me to, like, actually create stuff that's, like, just to create stuff and not for, like, the application itself.
Right. There was something that you said in Celeste's YouTube channel. Plug it here. Celeste M. Scott was, like, the Orange Scotty.
Oh, yeah, it was the Orange Scotty. I recently changed the name. But, yeah. I mean,
she makes YouTube videos, and there was one. I, like, don't know why I never watched them until this week, but I did because you posted a vlog that I was in. Am I selfish? I don't know. But there was one where you were, like, doing a Get Ready With Me, and you're just kind of talking about your social media break and... Mm-hmm. The thing that you said about how you don't want social media to be, like, the end game of your creativity. Yeah. Like, I found myself falling into that trap so many times where it's, like, I create so people know that I'm creating. Mm-hmm. Or I create things or I make things and do things and then they're not real until I share them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's not
true. And I'm still struggling with that because even yesterday I got some photos developed and they're probably, like, I mean, I say this when every role comes out, but I feel like they're the best photos I've ever taken. And I'm like, what do I do with these?
Yeah.
Do they matter if other people aren't seeing them?
Yeah.
Or, like, even thinking about the fact that whenever I do write something or take photos, I feel like I've been trained to think that I have to capitalize off of it in some way mm-hmm. for it to matter.
Yeah.
I can't just have these photos on my computer and, like, feel good about them.
Right.
Like, I feel like I have to, like, make a zine or, like, submit a piece to, like, a blog or something mm-hmm. for it to, like, be real. When in right. reality, it is me practicing a craft. Mm-hmm. And it, like, whether or not people see it, it's practice. And it's, like, good. And it's, like, I like what I created. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I'm still struggling with that. And, yeah. like, trying to figure out, like, what does it mean to be a creative? And, like, I don't know. It's so weird.
It is. A bizarre concept.
Yeah. But anyway, what's up with you?
Yeah, I didn't graduate yet. I'm still in school, so I have one semester left, God willing. this is summer for me. Mm-hmm. And it's been weird because I usually have, usually have things figured out at least a month in advance mm-hmm. or like, you know, summer internships, summer jobs, mm-hmm. you kind of know before the semester ends, so you know what you're getting yourself into. But this time around, it has been messy, to say the least, like really good because mm-hmm. I'm learning a lot and I'm, you know, being forced to reflect on my motivations and my identity apart from work and with work mm-hmm. at the same time a lot. Originally, like, I'm going to tell you guys my life story. Originally, I was hoping to get back to New York this summer and, you know, like grind and build.
Let's
connect and build. And so I had this whole, like, sublet even planned out. Mm-hmm. Like, I had things in my head ideally planned out. The last day of my semester, all of it fell apart. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, plans don't always unfold the way you would hope they do. And so that was, like, a really, like, rough day, just realizing, okay, well, I don't know what I'm going to do this summer. Next day, I illustrated a book for Madison Kuhn, which I hope we can get her on the podcast sometime. Like, yeah. That would be really cool. But anyway, that happened, and that was published beginning of May. And the next day after my whole, like, life fell apart, she texted me and was like, we could possibly do an event in New York at the Strand Bookstore, which is an iconic bookstore, mm-hmm. in my opinion, or, like, in my eyes.
It is, just, like, objectively.
It's a great place.
Yeah.
And she was like, let's do it. Like, let's just try. Mm-hmm. And so literally 1 week after that, I flew out and Celeste was able to fly out.
I know.
And all of my New York friends were still in school. So a lot of them came and we did this thing and I had 3 days in New York where mm-hmm. I just was meeting up with people and, you know, doing a little bit of work, but mostly just being there. And it was like a really good way to like compromise. Like, I still got to go back to New York, mm-hmm. but it wasn't like a full summer deal.
How do you feel? Because for those of you who don't know, Leah like studied in New York for a whole semester, mm-hmm. like fall semester of last year. And then she came back to LA to go to school. And then, so you had like 3 days in the city again. Mm-hmm. Did you feel like it was like a homegoing? Cause I know that you kind of view New York as like a home in a sense, or like what were your overall feelings about like going back after missing it for so long?
It was a really weird experience, kind of just like viscerally strange, mm-hmm. because if there's anything I think like in a broader sense, like I think this trip taught me is that New York is always going to be there. And yeah. like even if I don't return for a part of my life, it's gonna be there still. Yes. And like it's going to change, obviously, and I'm going to change too, so mm-hmm. it's not something that I'm missing out on, per yeah. se. But anyway, in terms of, like, actually going back, I think I was trying to channel a feeling that I had felt before, mm-hmm. and I think in the beginning, that's what kind of made me really sad. Mm-hmm. And, like, I would take the same train back to my old apartment. I would like walk by my old apartment, remember all the times me and my roommates and I don't know, mm-hmm. that we all had there, and like I was trying to like feel the same way I had felt mm-hmm. back last fall. Mm-hmm. And then I realized soon later like that's impossible and that ruins any experience. Like if you go in expecting to feel something, or you know, I don't know, it was just like bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
So that night was like a little bit like mellow and somber, but I like got over it and like I was like, well, this is a new thing, like this is a new experience, I can pace new feelings over the city,
mm-hmm.
and like continue to grow instead of like wallow in like the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that made it really good.
Yeah. Plans for the summer.
And yeah, so continuing off of that whole long story, I love my stories, they're really long.
I do too.
the week that, or no, a couple weeks after that, I was just kind of, I was, like, still really upset. Just, like, I don't want to, like, you know, you don't have a plan. It's stressful. And you, like, really have an existential crisis of, like, am I even, like, good at what I do?
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. And then my dad kind of, like, reminded me, I have family in London. Because I made this, like, joke about, like, I'm just going to run away from the country, which is very, like, accurate depiction of my personality. And so I remembered we had family in London. And we're just, like, joking around about it. So I sent out, like, 2 applications that night and heard back from one. So I'll be in London interning for a film agency and I'm leaving on Monday. So quick turnaround, crazy turnaround. I've never been to London. So that'll be really exciting. Nervous, but
yeah,
we'll see what happens. But we've been talking a lot. I mean, Celeste and I meet up a lot. And it's interesting to see what we choose to speak about on the podcast. Cause I feel like we always are just like dissecting our lives.
Yeah.
And, like, one of the conclusions that we keep coming to is that all of these amazing things, objectively amazing, like, you graduated, like, we did this event in New York, we were able to go to it together.
Yeah.
Like, they're great, crazy, like, divine-seeming things. And then we are sad.
Yes.
At the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, literally every conversation we have could be a podcast.
Really? And it's stressful because I'm like, should we save this? Like, should we not talk about this right now?
I know. But, like, I feel, so a part of when I take these, like, social media breaks, I feel, like, this, like, resurgence of creative, like, activity or, like, energy in my life where I'm, like, okay, I'm not on Instagram, so, like, what else am I doing? And so I started making YouTube videos again and, like, kind of falling back in love with, like, video, which is really interesting because I, being a film major and, like, realizing that I hated it, I was kind of, like, I never want to touch a camera ever again.
Yeah.
And, like, now that I'm doing YouTube videos again, I'm like, oh, I kind of like this. And then, like, I've been writing a lot. And then, like, we finally, like, did the podcast. So I just feel like I'm in my creative prime. But I'm sad. Mm-hmm. Like, very, very sad. Also, another thing is that I struggle with is, like, how much do I talk about me being sad on social media?
Yeah. That's a huge thing.
It's just, like, there's some comfort in sharing, like, especially, like, I've begun to, like, hate my Twitter personality.
Really?
Because I'll tweet something and then, like, almost immediately regret it, but, like, not want to delete it because I'm, like, for some reason I feel this need for people to know how I'm feeling and to know. It's almost like this, I feel this obligation because I am, because on the outside I feel it can look like, oh, Celeste is doing so many things. Like, she's so happy. But I feel this obligation to let people, like, know that I'm still, like, sad.
Totally.
For some reason.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way with, like, Instagram particularly, where it's, like, with the Strand, like, I hate to keep bringing that up, but, like, with the Strand event, like, that night it happened, I posted this, like, long caption. Like, I'm so blessed. Like, I'm so happy. And then the next night, I was, like, I, like, cried all day today. Yeah. And it kind of felt like I don't want people to think that I'm just, like, this happy-go-lucky person, because I'm really, most of the time, I'm, like, flailing and unsure and confused.
And it's interesting, like, where does that come from? Like, this desire to, like, let people know, like, no, I'm still sad, though. Like, all these great things are happening, but you need to know. Like, maybe it comes from the idea that we want to be transparent and not, like, project all these things. But, like, I feel like for me, it comes from a, like, wanting to be heard and known. But then also realizing that me posting about how sad I am on Twitter is not going to make it any better.
Right.
You know?
That's where I've been, like, in this weird space of, like, I tweet and delete a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just kind of an everyday thing. But particularly these days, like, this week, I'll, like, tweet something, it'll be up there for 30 seconds and it's gone. Like, if you saw it, congrats. But, I don't know. And I haven't come to the end of that either. I'm like, why do I feel like, the second I, like, let it out, I feel better, but then I feel worse at the same time.
Yeah, it's like, I'm like, oh, this is great, but I'm also like, I don't know if people need to know this.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess we're just kind of, like, floating in that space of figuring out where boundaries, because, like, boundaries exist in every part of life, so is social media also, obviously, but we forget.
Yeah, but this kind of goes along with, like, what we were, the reason we named this podcast, Am I Selfish? Or more reasons as to why this is such a fitting name for the podcast, because I think both of us are doing pretty well when it comes to, like, creativity and, like, where we're, our trajectory, but it's like, am I selfish for not being 100% happy with where I'm at? And also thinking about, like, we talk about this a lot, like the privilege that we have as artists. Like, it takes like an immense privilege to actually pursue like a creative career, and for us to like be sad is like, yeah, almost like, it's like, why are you sad? Like, you are in this like really great position. I had this conversation with my mom where I was just sitting in my room and I was very sad one day, just as like, I think for me after 6 p.m. it's like, I get punched in the stomach. Yep.
With relatable,
like, I don't know what it is about 6 p.m. but like after that it just is like
downhill.
Woo! listening to sad music all, yep, the time. But my mom like caught me in one of these one of these moments. And my mom sort of, like, advice to me was, like, you know, Celeste, like, just, you can't be sad forever. Like, just, basically she was saying, stop being sad. And I was like, I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if you can just stop yourself. Like, you can, and it'll be inauthentic, and then you'll just suppress all these emotions. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, and this is where I wanted to bring in, like, sort of a more, like, cultural aspect. Because, like, for me, growing up in, like, a Christian background as well as like African-American background, I think both tend to like kind of project this idea that like sadness is like a choice, mm-hmm, and that like happiness is something you do it, like you are, like you push through and then you just like are happy, like you choose joy,
yeah,
in,
yeah,
some sense. And I don't necessarily know if that's true. Like,
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think it's really healthy to like work through your emotions and, yeah, like obviously don't let it consume you, and I don't think either of us are doing that.
No. Yeah,
I think we're both really like, we're still working hard, we're still doing things that we love.
Yeah,
but also like I think addressing sadness when you have it is very healthy.
You know, something I was talking to a friend about, how like with like that background also as like an Asian American person, mm-hmm, that emotions are just kind of like not spoken of, and like a Christian background too, it's like pray more or, mm-hmm, you know, I don't know, there's just like, it seems like a futile, almost futile attempt, yeah, to cover things up or just move past them,
mm-hmm,
but I think it's really important to wade in them and mm-hmm, just like take stock of who you are in the thick of it, because that's, yeah, really formative.
I think at a certain point in my life, I started to think that, like, only white people could be sad.
Interesting.
Like, I remember going to this, or, like, that only white people were, like, allowed to be sad, because I remember just hearing all these things about, like, oh, black people don't go to therapy because we have real problems. Because, like, we have to deal with, like, racism. We don't have time. I would think, like, I don't have time to be sad. Like, I have, yeah, to, like, deal with my professor being racist in class.
Interesting.
Like, I would feel like I wasn't allowed to be sad. And I remember going to, like, this, like emo, like, show with my white friend, Kaylee. And, like, seeing, like, I was literally the only person of color. Not even just the only black person. The only person, wow, of color. And seeing them, like these people scream and cry and like cry to this very sad music and being like, I don't relate to this because I don't know if I've ever truly allowed myself to like be that sad.
Yeah, before. That's really interesting.
You know, what has your experience been with like emotions, especially as like a Chinese American woman? Like, how has that been for you?
I think objectively, a Asian American or specifically like Chinese American society runs with a shame guilt type of
dynamic.
Yeah. So feelings are just kind of not even confronted at all, mm-hmm, as much as the society I grew up in was, because I grew up in a predominantly white high school and whatnot, mm-hmm, and I'm just a natural emotional person,
mm-hmm,
but I felt like every time I tried to share that with someone, it was, like, reprimanded or looked down upon. So I kind of grew up thinking that having as many emotions as I did or reactions to things that I did were really, like, incorrect.
Mm.
So I just never really let that part of myself develop or grow in a healthy manner, mm-hmm, or in an outward manner, mm-hmm, or, like, yeah, externally. So I think once I got to college, I met a group of, like, friends that were actually encouraging of it and thought it was, like, good, mm-hmm, and worthy of being heard. And so I feel like I only started to really confront those feelings and work through them and sit with them and allow them to be part of my personality, because they are,
mm-hmm,
once I got to college,
mm-hmm,
and since then it's been very like kind of the forefront of my personality. Like, I mm-hmm. think if you were to ask any of my friends, like, what I'm like, emotional would be one of the words yeah. that they would use.
We only met, like, about a year ago.
Yeah.
And when I first met you, like, that was a very defining factor. And I remember, it's funny because I don't think I've ever told you this, but I remember being like, wow, like, Leah's really good at, like, expressing herself with her emotions. Like, I want to be like that one day.
That's wild. I think that it's weird for me to hear that just because, like, I was so scared of doing it mm-hmm. before coming to college. And there's also this thing that happens when you start learning more of who you are and believing in it
mm-hmm.
and filling into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to not rage against everything that you were before.
Exactly.
Or everything that tried to block you from being that. And so there was a point, I think, mostly last year
mm-hmm.
where I was just like, this is who I am now, and everything that taught me otherwise is bad.
Yeah.
And I was yeah. angry. And so I lived a lot of last year in anger and bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
But as I get older and as I mature more, I realize, like, it's important to have people in your life that are not as emotionally driven as you.
For
and
sure.
are more logistical. And yeah. But, yeah, so that's kind of, like, a very compressed version of my emotional journey, and it's only still beginning. So
for sure, same. I think I feel the same way about my emotion, which sounds so weird to say that my emotional journey is beginning, because as humans we have emotions.
Yeah.
And I think, like, most people just, like, I have this weird thing where I can't cry, like
can't relate.
Where, like, I remember, like, getting my heart broken for the first time when I was in 11th grade and not crying about it.
Interesting.
And feeling like, not because I didn't want to cry, but feeling like the tears just wouldn't come out. So I think my
mm-hmm.
my emotions were very, very, very
yeah.
suppressed. And I think that comes from just, like, not really seeing my parents cry growing
sure.
up a lot. And I think, like, subconsciously, I developed this, like, inability to cry. And, like, for me, it's a very big deal when I do cry.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it's interesting to, like, say out loud, like, yeah, I'm beginning my emotional journey. Because
yeah.
it's just, like, for so many people, their emotional journeys just start so early on. Which also have the idea of an emotional journey is so interesting to me.
Yeah.
You
it's,
know?
It's just as important
mm-hmm.
as your circumstantial, like, life journey.
Yeah. I brought up how I went to that emo show with my friend, and I was the only person of color there, and I was like, I never felt the sadness before. I kind of experienced a similar thing when you made a playlist for me. So essentially, I was going through a really rough time in my life. I still am, but at the beginning of this rough time in my life, Leah asked me to give her 3 words to describe, like, how I feel or how I felt, and then you made a playlist for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the playlist just had a lot of, like, Soccer Mommy, Lucy Dacus, artists in that vein, just
mm-hmm.
like these white women artists whose songs were very, very sad. And for the first time in my life, I was relating to this kind of, like, sad music. And it felt very ironic that they were all, or mostly, white women artists, because when I think about my, like, journey with music, like, my musical journey, I used to listen to a lot of, like, quote-unquote white music growing up, because that was my way of assimilating to, like,
mm-hmm.
white culture. And in the same way that you said that, like, when you come into yourself and, like, who you are, you kind of, like, reject everything else that was, like, fighting against that.
Yeah.
And so for me, that looked like only listening to, like, black artists
mm-hmm.
and, like, only listening to rap music and, like, R&B for, like, most of my college career. And then you made this playlist for me, and I was, like, suddenly relating to all these, like, white girls, like, singing about how sad they were. And I was just like, this is so strange. But also at the same time, I started seeing threads of sadness in other artists' music that I hadn't seen before, like Frank Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Like, self-control.
Who hurt you?
I know. I'm like, first of all, how does Frank get his heart broken when he literally lives in a cave? Like, no one knows where he is. Like, how are you getting your heart broken?
That's true.
I don't know. And I think also as fours, music
right.
is so big for us
mm-hmm.
because, like, it's how we... I don't know what I would do without music. Just, like, emotionally, like, music is such a big part of my emotional
yeah.
journey.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I want to hear about, like, how you relate to music and what it means to you.
I mean, I think as a quote-unquote writer... I have always leaned towards just lyrics.
Mm.
I'm, like, a lyric-heavy listener.
Yeah.
And so I found, like, when I first started getting into music, like,
mm-hmm.
I found myself veering towards, indie, like, acoustic, you know, like, Bon Iver and, like, Gregory Allen Isakov and, that like male indie. So all throughout high school I was listening to like acoustic, that kind of stuff, because that's where I could like hear the lyrics and like kind of understand them. It's never really been a genre type thing though, because like my playlist from 17 to now like have they're like genreless. They're just very like whatever I feel like I connected with at the time, like I would just like add it. I make like age-based playlists to give context. But there was something like kind of similarly, but like not even really that much. I wouldn't listen to women sing as much. Like, if there was, like, maybe, like, two or three token songs where I was like, oh, this is, like, really good, I'll add it.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I, like, don't know if I actively avoided listening to female musicians, but I just never was drawn to them.
Yeah.
And I did actually, like, I had a friend at one point that was the same way. But she verbalized something that has stuck with me since, where she said something like, I just don't really find myself in women's music or in women's voices. I don't like their voices. And I think she was talking about just the sound, maybe, or like the style. But something about saying like, I kind of reject women's voices.
Yeah.
I feel like has a deeper implication than that. I started listening to like women's indie rock last year more. And I was just, like, it was, like, this door opened, and I was able to feel all of, or, like, relate to these really deeply emotional feelings that I think mostly women experience. And it was just, like, bizarre. It was, like, taking a breath of air for the first time, because I was, like, this is literally, this is on the nose to what I'm feeling.
Yes.
And I think that's, like, kind of the common thread through, like, Soccer Mommy, Lucy Dacus, Snail Mail, Julian Baker, Phoebe Bridgers. Like, it's just very much, like, this is what I'm feeling. And I'm going to sing it like it is.
Yeah.
And I was writing a piece about one of Snail Mail's songs, Pristine, and I like, read it back the other day, because that song has grown to mean a lot to me now. But it's interesting to see what I thought back then before it was, like, what it means to me now. And I explained it as kind of, like, a finger-to-chest showdown. Like, I feel like this music is just, like, they know what they're feeling, and they know who they're singing it to, and they're not afraid to just sing it to them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's almost, like, it's like this very vulnerable just confession, slash like kind of like a cry, like I don't really know how to explain it, but yeah, I just think I found a lot of myself and a lot of confidence too listening to that kind of music, because I was like, other people are feeling this, and confronting it makes them empowered. And that's how I feel when I listen to it too.
Yeah. I think another thing that's like really powerful about these artists that we're talking about are like their age and how young they are. Specifically like Soccer Mommy and Snail Mail.
Yeah.
Snail Mail, isn't she like 18?
Yeah, Lindsay Jordan.
And like, I think what we're really trying to tap into, at least like when we're confronting these emotions, is almost like the teenageness of like the feelings, you know? And how it feels so much more poignant because it feels so naive and like so young, you know, in a sense. Like when Snail Mail, like her song Pristine, she says like, I'll never love anyone else. Like that's such a naive verse, but it's like so relatable and like relevant. And it just feels like, when I'm singing it, I feel dumb. I feel almost like ashamed when I like sing it in the car with other people. Because I know they're like looking at me and they're like, are you okay?
No, and the answer is no. But no, I a lot of the reviews that I've read, speaking of critics, but they're getting it. Like Pitchfork or Lindsay Jordan Snail Mail, her album came out in full today, Lush, and Pitchfork named it Best New Music. And the article that comes with it is so good. Like, read it. The person that wrote it, it's funny that he said this or she, I don't actually know who wrote it, but described one of the songs as like a Greta Gerwig coming of age movie in 5 minutes, which is just like a funny thing. Cause it's like, you know, Lady Bird is a great movie in my opinion, but it has its not for being just like cliche and, you know, like very niche. But it kind of is that. It's like, I don't know, a very relatable feeling. Like one of the press releases for Snail Mail's song Pristine, it describes it as like suburban angst and unrequited love. And I think those are two things that are pretty much universal to anyone. Everyone kind of grew up in a suburb, or there's an except few, but everyone kind of had that like small town angst, I guess, is the word. And then everyone's experienced liking someone and wanting someone that just didn't want you back.
I mean, most people.
Most people. I mean, like, if you're one of the lucky ones, let's talk.
Even Frank Ocean.
Yeah.
You know? It is interesting how well she and a lot of these other artists are able to I'm also a very lyrical person, mm-hmm. and there's just certain lines that just get me, like, especially, like, okay, in another song by Snail Mail that I really love is called Static Buzz, mm-hmm. and it's such a cinematic song. I think, like, all of her, like, music is very cinematic, but Static Buzz is, like, particularly, I feel like I'm in her living room. Wow. When I'm listening to it, mm-hmm. and she talks about, like, plugging, like, turning on the TV, and, like, every time she plugs in her TV, like, she gets shocked, and she wonders if the person that she, like, is in love with is watching the same thing. And it's almost like this thing where I think for us, we're, like this is totally different, but I connected it somehow, like,
yeah.
how we look at our, like, astro poets, like, horoscopes, like, every...
Shout out to astro poets, honestly.
Yeah, honestly. Astro poets, sponsor us.
Please.
But it's almost like we're looking for these, like, deeper meanings in everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, in our horoscopes, in, like, the fortune cookie that I got. Yeah. In the fact that, like, whenever I plug in my TV, I get shocked. Like,
that's wild.
We're yeah. wondering if it's connected in some way to this person that mm-hmm. I, like, miss and that I love.
Yeah, and those are embarrassing things to admit mm-hmm. that you do. And yeah. so hearing it in a song,
yeah.
especially with, like, the style of music that Snail Mail plays, yeah. it's very, like, it's really sad content. the lyrics are really, like, dismal.
Yeah.
But the music is, like, jolting mm-hmm. and driving, and it's sure of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, like, that, there, yeah. you know, it's just, like, two kind of contrasting mm-hmm. things.
Yeah.
Which is, it's, like, buoyant.
I'm always amazed when artists are able to do that, when they're able to, like, admit the, like, almost pathetic state that they're in. Mm-hmm. Like, even in, I keep talking about Frank Ocean, but, like,
yeah.
literally, like, I can't not talk about Frank Ocean, but in Self Control, where he says, "I'll sleep between y'all." Like, mm-hmm. that is such a, like, it's so, like, not that I'm calling Frank pathetic, but it is such this, like, pathetic thing where you're,
yeah.
like, you're so desperate for this person that you're saying, like, "I'll literally sleep between you and the next person." Like, wow. just, like, save a space for me in your, like, Man. Heart. Like, it's just, like, and it is, like, empowering to hear, like, an artist with, like, such a, like, vast reach to, like, yeah. verbalize these things that you feel, because it makes you feel more okay that you're feeling them.
You know what connection I just made? How we were talking earlier about why do we feel the need to broadcast our sadness on the internet, mm-hmm. even though everyone's gonna see it?
Yeah.
It's because that's the stuff I find myself
relating to
and just being deeply, deeply impacted by.
Yeah.
And so it's knowing that that's how I receive art, or not even art, just, like, receive sentiments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know that maybe if I do the same, it could help one person.
Yeah, or even seeing, like, someone favorite that sad tweet, it's, like, their solidarity.
Yeah, that, and, like, know? We all are just in that human boat. We're all sad mm-hmm. at times. We've all wanted someone that didn't want us back.
Yeah.
We've all failed at something in our career and rethought our whole entire identity because mm-hmm. of it, and
yeah.
it's just really reassuring to know that, just to remind yourself that other people are also going through it.
Yeah. Speaking of music, we have some recommendations for you guys.
Yeah.
Today, like, multiple albums came out.
Yes.
I guess Friday's, like, the album drop day.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So, I have a lot, so do you want to go first?
Sure. I mean, so we were already talking about Snail Mail's new album. Listen to it. Sit in your car. Drive on the freeway with the windows down mm-hmm. at 7 p.m. if you live in California. That's the best time to listen to it.
Yeah.
Or in the Del Taco drive-thru, crying.
Or just in your room with the salt lamp on.
Ooh, like, the salt lamp will yeah. get ya. Listen to it. Let me know what you think. I really want to see if other people can resonate with it as much as Celeste and I have.
Mm-hmm.
And also read that Pitchfork article, because mm-hmm. it puts it into words better than I ever could.
Mm-hmm.
There's another website that I've been really into. It's been around for a little bit. It's called thecreativeindependent.com.
Mm-hmm.
They basically, it's a very undecorated website.
Is that the one that you sent me the other day?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So if you, like, go on the website, it's just, you know, I think their font they're using is Courier New.
Mm-hmm.
There's no photos.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, very, very minimal design elements on the page. It's just a white page with, like, color blocks and just interviews with filmmakers, photographers, mm-hmm. visual artists, writers, and they're just telling you about how they do what they do. It's very content heavy, so mm-hmm. you're learning a lot when you're reading it, and it's really good to get you out of, like, a slump, or mm-hmm. to even just inspire you to get working, or even to wallow, because a lot of them are talking about their own times where they've just not been in the mood to mm-hmm. do what they have dedicated their lives to doing, and so that's really comforting. And then I guess lastly, Celeste and I are going to a book signing speaking event with Mari Andrew, our queen.
We love her.
Yeah, she is an illustrator. You should follow her on Instagram, at by Mari Andrew, M-A-R-I. She just makes these also very simple illustrations that are text heavy.
Mm-hmm. You've probably seen her stuff. Like, if you didn't recognize, like, who she was, you've probably seen it floating around on Instagram. Yeah,
for sure. And it's super necessary, I think. Poignant. For anyone in their 20s. Yeah. We're all, like we said, we're all struggling.
Yeah.
Those illustrations have helped.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't saved me, but, like, you know, they've been very, like, nice to see.
It's the whole thing about, like, the idea of wanting to connect with someone.
Right. She just broadcasts things as they are. Yeah. and sometimes without even a caption, and I'm like, well, that's it.
Yeah.
And so she also has a book out called Am I There Yet? And that is also something I would recommend. How about you?
I have a lot. So as far as music goes, Georgia Smith's album Lost and Found also just came out today. I had sort of listened to some of her songs, like her popular songs, before, and then this album came out and I listened to it right away, and, like, I really like it. Like, the thing I was talking about before about, like, not feeling like people of color, like, are allowed to be sad. Like, I love when I see, like, artists of color, like, just kind of being emotional, you know? And, like, this album feels very emotional to me.
It is,
so I really love that about it. So, Lost and Found by Georgia Smith. Langston Hughes poetry.
Daddy. Oh, my God.
Daddy Lang, as we like to
Daddy
call
Lang him. Lang. Oh, God. He's rolling in his grave.
I showed Leah this Langston Hughes poetry book that I got. I think it's just, like, a collection of all, like, his most popular poems. And there's a section in particular called Lament Over Love, I think. Mm-hmm. And it slaps. like Daddy Lang knew what he was
talking. He popped off.
He really did. So please, if you, like, at least look up Lament Over Love, I believe it. It's called that poem in particular. It's so good. I've also been watching Freaks and Geeks a lot. Which, I think I tweeted this, that, like, rewatching Freaks and Geeks, I was like, I would not be who I am without this TV show. Mm. Just, like, aesthetically and, like, tonally, like, the show is just so, it was so formative for me, like, watching it as a high school kid. And I think just, like, rewatching it, first of all, the cast is amazing. Like, Seth Rogen is in it. And then also, I don't know his name, but the guy who is in, he's in How I Met Your Mother. He's, like, the main guy. I don't know his name. He's so cute in it.
Ooh.
And then
I'm in.
James Franco, even though he's canceled, isn't it? But great cast, great show. Please watch it if you haven't already. And then lastly, the Dissect podcast. I talked about Frank Ocean a lot in this episode. The Dissect season currently is about Frank Ocean, and I have cried multiple times while listening to it.
Yeah.
So you guys should, I think it's on Spotify, that podcast, so you guys should listen to it if you can. And yeah, that's all I have for recommendations. We would love to see or hear anything that, we need feedback. Like, we need you guys to tell us what to do better, because we're starting.
Right, and this whole podcast deal only can succeed and be good with, like, dialogue. Yeah. So if you have questions, if anything wasn't clear, or if you disagree, like, we want to hear it all. Or things that you think we could do better, or things that you think we're doing well.
Yeah. So you could send us your questions or comments to amiselfishpodcast@gmail.com. I'll put that in the description below.
Also, if you like this podcast, rate us on iTunes and leave us a review, because it helps us.
Yes. Lastly, I want to, like, shout out Tom Howe. I don't know if I'm saying that name right. That's where the music is from.
Oh, cool.
So shout out to your boy, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, his stuff will also be in the description. I think that's it.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening to the Am I Selfish podcast, where the answer is always yes.
Yes.